Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. President Trump plans to pay for a big buildup in defense spending by cuts elsewhere in the federal budget. High on the list is a deep cut in foreign aid, like the State Department and the U.S. Agency for International Development. In an interview with Fox News over the weekend, Mr. Trump's budget director confirmed they plan, quote, fairly dramatic reductions, close quote, in foreign aid. Quote, the overriding message is fairly straightforward, said Budget Director Mick Mulvaney. Quote, less money spent overseas means more money spent here, close quote. The proposal has evoked pushback, not only from Democrats like Maryland's Democratic Senator Ben Cardin, the top Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, but also from some Republicans in Congress. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who chairs a key appropriations subcommittee, called the cuts, quote, dead on arrival, close quote. More than 100 retired generals and admirals wrote Congress with concerns about the foreign aid cuts. We'll speak with one of them in a few minutes. But first, we'll learn how the proposed cuts in foreign aid look to one of the many international nonprofits headquartered in Baltimore. Bill O'Keefe is Vice President for Government Relations and Advocacy at Catholic Relief Services. CRS describes its mission as assisting the poor and vulnerable overseas. Bill O'Keefe, welcome to On the Record.
Thanks so much, Sheila. Great to be here.
What do you most worry about in these proposed foreign aid cuts?
Well, the top worry for us is the impact on poor and vulnerable people around the world. We have now 65 million refugees in the world, and that's the most we've had since the end of the Second World War. We also have four major famines that are developing in Yemen, South Sudan, Nigeria, and Somalia. And 20 million people are at risk of starvation in those four countries alone. This is not the time to be cutting the resources that our country provides to all those vulnerable people around the world.
Tell me briefly what CRS does, what Catholic Relief Services does, and how this affects your work.
So we are an international humanitarian and development organization, and you mentioned at the top we're one of a number of groups in Baltimore, and I think Baltimore should be really proud. We're actually a center for international groups providing assistance around the world, and we are in over 100 countries. And since 1943, have been assisting refugees, displaced people, vulnerable people, poor folks in countries around the world to meet their immediate needs and then to provide for themselves. We help with a range of development activities like healthcare, education, jobs, stuff like that, that allows people to live a meaningful life and to take up the God-given opportunities that they have.
And is most of what you do funded through the federal government?
About half of it is funded through the federal government. It varies from year to year, depending on whether there's a huge emergency somewhere. But approximately half is funded through the federal government.
So it's at risk if there's deep cuts?
You know, who knows how it will all play out in the Congress, but deep cuts will definitely have an impact on the groups that are in Baltimore in one way or another, depending on which parts of the overall foreign assistance budget get cut. Again, most importantly, it's the impact on the people around the world who are really vulnerable and are at risk. Our organizations are going to fight hard against these cuts because we think that they are unwise and unfair. But the real vulnerability are for people outside of our country.
There's a program called Feed the Future. Tell me about that.
Feed the Future is an Obama administration initiative, although it built on a Bush administration concerns about rising prices for food in the developing world after the 2008 financial crisis, right at the beginning there. And it helps countries to develop their agricultural potential and also to help families in rural areas to provide adequate nutrition to their families. So there's two elements to it. One is grow more food, and the other is grow better food and help families to feed their children in a way that prevents the kind of malnutrition that has permanent implications for developing minds and developing bodies.
That's something Catholic Relief Services is involved in where?
CRS in Tanzania and in Malawi and in Zambia have, and a couple of other places actually, have Feed the Future work that is working in very remote and rural areas to help communities grow more food and then sell that food on the market and to move from being subsistence farmers that just kind of provide it or produce enough food to survive to farmers who produce enough and a variety of food that they can then sell, which gets them more income, enables them to educate their children, to take care of their healthcare needs, and to be a part of the local economy in a much more beneficial way for their long-term prospects.
And you think that effort is at risk with these cuts?
Well, I think there's two things. First, it's an effort of the previous administration, and there's always a temptation of new administrations to go after what the last guy did. But it's a significant program, and if they really make the 40% cut or 37% cut in USAID, it's hard to imagine a program like Feed the Future won't be impacted. And it, you know, Feed the Future helped in many countries in southern and eastern Africa to mitigate the really horrible drought that was connected with El Nino over the last couple of years. You might have heard about that. And the impacts of that would have been far worse had there not been investments principally by the U.S. in countries like Ethiopia in agricultural productivity. Those have really paid off in many ways, and it kept what was a, you know, definitely a hard time in those countries from being a total famine. So it's really important that that kind of assistance continue, and it's one of the reasons why we're disappointed in this budget proposal that seems to be evolving here.
It's Bill O'Keefe of Catholic Relief Services here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Kast. We're talking about the effect of proposed cuts in the U.S. foreign aid budget. In West Africa, there's a tremendous problem with malaria. What is Catholic Relief Services doing about that?
We have in West Africa, supported by the U.S. and then also by something called the Global Fund for AIDS, TB, and Malaria, which is also supported by the U.S., we have countrywide programs for literally tens of millions of people that provide insecticide-treated bed nets and training to families so that women and children and men sleep under a bed net that protects them from these malaria-bearing mosquitoes. They bite only at night, so if you sleep under one of these bed nets, then your risk is significantly reduced. I was in the Gambia a year ago, and we went into a village and saw how the rate of malaria in that village had been brought almost down to zero because of the provision of the bed nets and the training about how to use them and also the system of distribution. As you would imagine, having a system that covers an entire country, even a small one like the Gambia, requires a lot of organizational ability, and that's the kind of thing that we bring to the task. But the impact of these programs in West Africa is that should they be continued, we may be able to end the impact of malaria in that part of the world. You know, malaria is debilitating. It puts you out of work, makes you unable to farm, makes it difficult to stand, high fever, pain. And it's something that many people in the tropical zones have to deal with almost on a daily basis, and it really reduces the productivity of those societies.
You mentioned that you are partnering with something called the Global Fund. If the U.S. pulls back its investment in a program like that, will other countries step forward?
I think they'll step back. The U.S. is the lead donor, and other countries take their cues from us. And I think this is one of the things about this budget that we need to think about as a country. Whether we like it or not, we are the leader in terms of helping people around the world. And if we step back, two things will happen. One is countries that do the kind of work that we do are going to say, so the U.S. isn't putting in, then I guess we can get away with putting in less. Because it's frankly our diplomatic pressure that gets other countries to step up to the plate. And then there will be countries, and I'm going to pick on China for a second here, who will add in more money, but not for this kind of program, but for building a stadium with the name of the president of the country somewhere, or building roads that lead to nowhere, or other infrastructure projects that may or may not be useful for the country, but accomplish a strategic objective for them. So there's a lot of unintended negative consequences of cutting a budget like this at this time?
The U.S. donates by far the most dollars to development assistance in poor nations, a smaller percentage of its economy than many other advanced countries donate. But the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, reports that the 10 biggest donor nations gave $111 billion in development aid last year, of which more than a fourth, $31 billion, came from the U.S. Is it wrong for the U.S., for the Trump administration, to tell other countries, you need to step up?
I think we should focus on our own role before worrying about that of other countries. So we can always criticize and browbeat other countries, but really, we need to be concerned about our moral responsibilities and our ability to help people. And certainly, while this is a significant amount of money, the $60 billion or so in foreign assistance is a lot of money, but it's compared to the benefit and compared to the size of our economy, it's really less than 1% even of our federal budget. It's 0.5% of our total federal budget. And so we can do more without sacrificing our own financial integrity here. And really, the way we're going to get other countries to do more is by stepping up ourselves. Pulling back and not leading by example just is not going to work.
Thanks for talking to us about this.
Thanks so much, Sheila.
Bill O'Keefe is Vice President for Government Relations and Advocacy at Catholic Relief Services, an international nonprofit that works with poor people around the world. If you value conversations like these, please help us keep them coming during WIPR's Pledge Drive. Here's Nathan.
You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WIPR. Become a member. Come to WIPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. After President Trump announced his plan to pay for a big boost in military spending, in part with deep cuts in foreign aid and State Department budgets, 121 retired generals and admirals wrote Congress urging caution. Their letter quoted Defense Secretary James Mattis, something that he told Congress when he was on active duty commanding the U.S. Central Command. Quote, "If you don't fully fund the State Department, then I need to buy more ammunition," close quote. One of those retired generals is H. Stephen Blum, born and educated in Baltimore. Lieutenant Blum headed the National Guard Bureau and was Deputy Commander, U.S. Northern Command. He's with me in the studio. Welcome to On the Record.
Well, thank you, Sheila. Glad to be here.
Why did you write this letter or join in writing this letter?
Well, 120 of us joined in writing this letter because it was, and as you see, it's addressed to both the leadership of both political parties in both houses of our Congress. And it's also addressed to the National Security Advisor to the President, as well as the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of State. The reason for that is they're interconnected and interlinked and cannot be separated. So if you weaken one, you weaken both. So we wanted to make sure that whoever was making the budget decisions did it informed on what the second and third order consequences might be that are unintended.
It's not obvious to a lot of us that the State Department and the military, that their power rises and falls together. What does your experience teach you about that?
History and my personal experience informs us that it's always been this way. And whether it's a democracy or a different form of government, war is always an extension of politics, and diplomacy is a very necessary tool to shape. In fact, if diplomacy can work, you don't need to have a military operation or war. And frankly, the military is not the solution. It's not a panacea to every challenge that faces this nation. As a matter of fact, there are very, very few and very narrow areas where the application of military power really improves the situation. Often it exacerbates the situation. So the stronger your diplomatic arm is, the stronger our State Department is, the more effective it is, the better it is for soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines and their parents and loved ones, because they don't have to risk losing them for something that may not produce the intended result. The intended result needs to happen through diplomacy. Your State Department has to be resourced. If you're a great nation and a world power or the world's only real superpower, you're there for four reasons: because your economy is that strong, because your ability to share and shape information is that strong, because your diplomacy is that strong, and lastly, your military is that strong. Not one of those by itself makes you a great nation. All four together is how you measure national power.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with retired Lieutenant General H. Stephen Blum, former Chief of the National Guard and Deputy Commander of the U.S. Northern Command. When you talk about diplomacy, are you talking just about diplomats who do negotiations and worry about trade relations, et cetera? Or is it a broader aspect? Because the cuts we're talking about include foreign aid as well as the State Department.
The programs that the State Department has proponency for include USAID, other programs that are developmental programs. Peace Corps is one of them. These are highly effective programs that do great work and shape the environment and stabilize the nation or the country or the region that they're targeted to. The more stability and the more progress that happens in that area or in that country that's generated from those programs, that's even frankly at the personal level and at the real politic level, it's actually more important than what some of the diplomats do. So some of these programs are absolutely invaluable to what we call our geographic combatant commanders. All around the globe, we have combatant commands run by four-star headquarters of joint commands that have regional responsibility. Ask any of them currently serving or any that ever have served, and they'll tell you that these programs are invaluable to them in shaping and stabilizing the nations or the region that they're responsible for. So to weaken these would be a false economy, in my view.
You had a commanding role during the war in former Yugoslavia in the 90s, correct, in Bosnia?
Yes, I was the multinational division north commander. That doesn't really tell you everything, but it means that you had to work with 420 non-governmental organizations that had the kind of programs that I'm talking about. They were essential to our success in bringing an end to the war and peace and stability to a region that has not seen peace and stability for almost a century, so except under Tito for the time that he had the nation of Yugoslavia under his control. But without those programs and without our State Department efforts in that region and other nations' diplomatic efforts in that nation, you could not have solved that with a pure military solution. In other words, even when General Mattis said to make the point that if you cut the State Department or you don't resource the State Department, you're going to have to buy me more ammunition. What he didn't say, but what he knows in his heart of hearts, is that even if you bought him all the ammunition in the world, the solution to every problem is not blowing something up or shooting it. And he understands that. But what he was saying is you are increasing the likelihood that we're going to have to employ our military in combat operations, which may or may not have the intended effect when it's all said and done.
I appreciate you taking time to talk to us about it. Thank you so much.
Sure. My pleasure.
Retired Lieutenant General H. Stephen Blum, he's former Chief of the National Guard and Deputy Commander of the U.S. Northern Command. He was one of 121 retired generals and admirals who wrote Congress and top leaders urging caution in foreign aid cuts. Earlier, we spoke with Bill O'Keefe, Vice President of Catholic Relief Services. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. WYPR is looking to you for help. It's Pledge Week here, and we want to make sure you know what to do. Nathan?
You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.